It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
And it is the national news for week commencing June 29, 2025. And in this week's WIA national news, you'll hear from His Majesty King Charles III, hear how the ambulance service in VK2 has recently trialled the use of drones to enhance its capabilities, and Giles Kirby, Director of the Wireless Institute of Australia, with this week's board comment. But wait, there's much, much, much more in this edition of news from the Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
This is VK1 WIA. All points of contacts from today's news stories are to be found in print when you read the web editions. www.wia.org.au.
Good morning, this is Giles Kirby, Director at the Wireless Institute of Australia, with a quick update from the boardroom. Today I want to talk about something we're actively working on at the board level, stronger state and territory representation across the WIA. While we're a national body, we recognise that each state and territory has its own unique radio culture, challenges and opportunities, from repeater coordination in West Australia to foundation licence training in regional Queensland to emergency comms in Tasmania. That's why we're looking to formalise stronger links between the WIA board and each state and territory, whether through nominated liaison officers, regular state roundtables, or collaborative projects with local clubs and councils. We want the issues that matter to you in your region to be reflected in national decisions. We've already seen success where local clubs have taken the initiative on training and community engagement. The WIA wants to support more of this. If you're doing something great in your region, let us know. If you've got an issue, we want to hear about it too, early and not after the fact. Because whether you're in Darwin, Hobart, Adelaide, or anywhere in between, this is your WIA. Stay curious, stay connected, and most of all, keep transmitting. 73 is from the board. This is VK5 Golf Kilo signing off.
Australiana. New South Wales Ambulance has recently trialled the use of drones to enhance its aeromedical and special operations capabilities during search and rescue missions, where they focus on improving both the speed and safety of operations in remote and difficult-to-reach locations. The two-month remotely piloted aeromedical clinical systems, the RPACS trial, utilised cutting-edge technology to enhance patient care, operational safety and efficiency. It saw 7 critical care paramedics and special operations team paramedics specially trained to operate, maintain and deploy RPACS drones as part of search and rescue missions. The RPACS drones can provide real-time aerial surveillance to improve situational awareness and support decision-making on critical incidents, leading to better patient outcomes. They feature thermal imaging, high-intensity searchlights, the ability to carry essential items, and a loudspeaker to communicate with patients. Most importantly, each drone can live stream to a secure link, so a medical response can be managed from a remote location. This response can include the delivery of life-saving medical supplies, including blood products, anti-venom, and external defibrillators, directly to patients up to 7 kilometres away in isolated environments where immediate access by conventional means may not be possible.
We are VK1 WIA. Now, international news with VK2 LAW Jason.
Hello. First up in international news, a man who scaled a 321-foot broadcast tower in Washington, D.C., stayed there for a three-day-long standoff with local police, has reportedly died. D.C. police first responded to the incident Tuesday afternoon, saying they had negotiators on the scene of a barricaded situation on the 4400 block, which is located on American University's campus. While police negotiations took place, the radio station WAMU said its radio signal was briefly affected. According to WAMU Chief Advancement Officer, the station quickly powered down the tower to support the emergency response. Over the next few days, as the standoff continued, WAMU operated from its backup transmission facility in Virginia. WAMU, in its emailed statement, "It is with deep sorrow that we share the situation at the tower resulted in the death of the individual. despite the tireless work of emergency services on the ground. We appreciate their efforts. Those listening, viewing in VK, if you or someone you know needs help, Lifeline Australia is available on 13 1114. President Donald Trump's fiscal 2026 budget request, if approved by the Congress, would kill many of NASA's plans for robotic exploration of the solar system. GOD 2 would be multiple space-based missions to study Earth, the Sun, and the rest of the universe. Among the planets that would get less attention are Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, but the planet facing the biggest drop in scrutiny from space is our own. The Trump budget proposal calls for reducing Earth science funding by 53%. Also spiked, a mission that would take a close look at Apophis, a jumbo asteroid that will pass just 20,000 miles from Earth, closer than geosynchronous satellites, on April 13, 2029. The White House Office of Management and Budget said in its request that NASA's current spending of more than $7 billion a year on nearly 100 space missions is unsustainable. Russia's space station. Russia is planning to press ahead on the country's Russian Orbital Station, ROS, following the demise of the International Space Station in 2030. At that time, the first ROS modules are to be lofted. It will become the world's first drone platform equipped with robots for its maintenance, said First Deputy Prime Minister of the Russian Federation, Denis Manturov. This is a patented solution of the Russian Federation. Testing the technology will allow us to apply this format to our lunar program, he said. We will continue to increase the number of communication devices in near-Earth, geostationary, and highly elliptical orbits. Thus, we expect to cover the entire territory of the country, including the Arctic, with stable communication channels by 2030, he emphasized. Also in news from Russia with love, on June 6, the Iranian embassy in Moscow reported a pivotal meeting between their ambassador and the CEO of Roscosmos, the Russian state space corporation, where discussions centered on the joint production of satellites, marking a significant step in deepening bilateral space cooperation. This shortwave broadcast wasn't aiming for big global listenership.
I particularly wanted to send my warmest good wishes to all of those serving at British Antarctic research stations this midwinter's day, and above all to express the greatest admiration for the critically important work you do.
Indeed, there were perhaps only a few dozen pairs of ears for whom the special program was intended. BBC World Service annual Antarctic midwinter broadcast is dedicated to research staff stationed at British Antarctic Survey facilities in Rothera, Bird Island, and South Georgia. This BBC Antarctic midwinter broadcast is a shortwave tradition, and this year, its 70th anniversary year, was no different. Scientists and support staff of the British Antarctic Survey team were tuned in on the 21st of June, the longest night of the year in Antarctica, to hear welcoming messages from home, including that pre-recorded greeting from King Charles, the first monarch to participate in the tradition. The show only lasted a half hour, but it has been a big part of a midwinter at British research stations on the frozen continent for decades. For WIA National News in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with Felix, VK4FUQ.
Hello there. Now, Qantas Wise 2025. VHF UHF Field Days, Winter 2025. Saturday 21 June through Sunday 22 June.
This is Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, manager of the VHF-UHF Field Days. The 2025 winter event is done and dusted, but you all know that. The other thing you know is that, having participated, you need to submit a log. But before you do, make sure that you can identify that it's your log. Please please ensure that you have your name, call sign, location and 6-character grid square all entered correctly. For those who use VKCL, convert the exported log into Cabrillo format using the conversion application that you can download from the VK Contest Log Checker website. Only submit your Cabrillo formatted log. Thanks to those who have already submitted their logs. Most appreciated. For everyone else, you only have until next Sunday to submit your log. Get cracking! This is Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, for VK1WIA News.
Harry Angel Memorial Sprint. Winners' certificates have been mailed. Down but not out. ARRL's Logbook of the World, LOTW, is an extremely popular service internationally for non-members, as it is the primary means for providing confirmations for ARRL awards such as DXCC and Worked All States. As a part of the ongoing modernisation of the ARRL systems and infrastructure, LOTW is receiving major upgrades to the operating system it is running on. The Renational database system that uses the store and access logbook and awards data, and server hosting, where it is being fully migrated to the cloud. These changes will, among other improvements, ensure LOTW performance needs can be better met on a user demand. LOTW will be unavailable until July 2 to complete these upgrades. ARRL will bring LOTW back online if it is available sooner than July 2. Organisers of the World Radio Sport Team Championship have announced that two teams of seasoned de-expeditioners and contestants are going to the 2026 competition in the UK, after placing the winning bids to secure a place in the running. All other competitors in this international Olympic-style radio event qualify by virtue of their contest records. But these two sponsored teams, one headed by Adrian, KO8SCA, and the other by Jezeri, SP5Y, secured spots as winning bidders in an auction. The minimum bid was $20,000. The opportunity to purchase spots in the competition is a way of helping the event with its substantial budget. All teams are bound by the same operating rules during the contest itself. IAAUHF World Championship. The 24-hour IAAUHF World Championship starts at 1200 hours UTC on Saturday 12 July and ends at 11:59 hours UTC on Sunday 13 July. This annual contest supports amateur self-training in radio communications, improving operating skills, conducting technical investigations and intercommunicating with other amateurs around the world, using the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 meter bands. Trans-Tasman Low Band Contest, 19 July. The Trans-Tasman Contest, held on the third weekend in July, aims to encourage low-band activity between VK and ZL. Only contest bands 160, 80 and 40 metres are allowed with SSB, CW and Digital, RIDI or PSK. Yoda Contest 2025. Organised by the IAAU Region 1 Youth Working Group in cooperation with the Hungarian Amateur Radio Society, the aim of the Yoda Contest is to increase youngsters' activity on the air, strengthen the reputation of the Yoda program, and demonstrate support for youngsters across the world. The next two sessions of this year's Yoda Contest will be held 19 July, 29 December. RSGBO Yoda Contest, July 26 to July 27. Mode, CW, SSB. Bands, 80, 40, 20, 15, 10 meters. Work once per band, per mode. Remembrance Day Contest, next contest, 16th and 17th August. DX Window, June. Did you work VI100 IAIU? Cards for this are expected to be awaiting checking and mail-outs by QSL Manager Charles M0OXO, who is currently on vacation. He says these will be out in the first week of July. Michelle is on the wireless holiday style as CN2DX in Morocco, now through to the 30th of August using CW, SSB and FT8. Look for CN2DX on 4-6 metres, QSL Voice Home Call, F5, LRL. Special Event Station 9A2025 HWC is active until the 30th of June, to celebrate the 29th World Men's Handball Championship. The station was spotted recently on the 80 and 40 metre bands using SSB. QSL via Logbook of the World. Macau, OM2DX, has announced plans for a de-expedition to, wait for it, the West Bank, Palestine, sometime this year. The call sign will be E44OM. OM2DX from the Slovak Republic says that he has dates set, the team forming, license in hands and preparations ongoing. But he needs to wait till the situation on the West Bank gets stabilised. As they say in the classics, no kidding, Sherlock. For WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ, Inningham.
Hey, a little bit of housekeeping. It's reception reports. Now, we do like to hear where in the world you're listening to this, the WIA National News Service. WIA News rebroadcasters often give shortwave listeners a welcome to the broadcast as they commence callback straight after the local news. Local news follows national news in all states, and it would be great if those SWLs would email their reception reports and location to callbacks at wia.org.au. Not only, but also those watching us on YouTube, leave a comment. Access is just below the picture on the screen. And again, tell us where and maybe even the day and time you're listening.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with VK3GTV, Cole.
Hello, first cab off the rank, it's Worldwide Special Interest Group's Astronomy and Wireless Weather, QRM from the heavens, AMSAT UK to test super black paint on CubeSat. AMSAT UK will partner with Surrey Nanosystems and a number of universities, including University of Surrey, to test a special black paint on an upcoming CubeSat deployment. When applied to a surface, the super black paint, VantaBlack, is designed to absorb 98% of light. The goal of the partnership is to demonstrate potential solutions to reducing light pollution as it relates to astronomy. This high level of light absorption makes the coated surface appear extremely dark, helping to minimize the unwanted brightness from satellites that are disrupting the work of many a stargazer. The Jovian 1 CubeSat mission containing this experiment is scheduled to launch in 2026. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Summits on the Air, Parks on the Air and other adventure groups. So far this year, VK7 operators have activated 73 SOTA summits, making a combined total of 900 QSOs, an outstanding effort by all involved. Making POTA easier. A new update has just been released for DXLook, dxlook.com, a free web-based HF propagation map designed for we amateur radio operators. The latest feature is a dedicated POTA view, which displays up to 1,000 parks on the air activations from the past 6 hours, all plotted on an interactive world map. Each activation includes the call sign, grid square, and park reference. Users can filter POTA activity by band and mode, just like in other DXLook views. This makes it easy to focus on specific operating conditions or find relevant activity for your setup. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, CW. Here's one for the record books. A teenager from Romania is preparing to beat the world record he set last year for speed in copying call signs sent in CW. Ham Radio 2025 at Friedrichshafen, Germany, has plenty to offer international visitors with this weekend's three-day event. One scheduled event in particular is likely to draw a crowd as it showcases the achievement of Yanis Gutaru, YO8NS, who set the world record in call sign receiving in Morse code last year. In a demonstration sponsored by the Romanian Federation of Amateur Radio, Yanis will attempt to beat that record before a panel of judges from Guinness World Book of Records and the IARU. This forms part of a larger exhibit by the Romanian Amateur Radio Group, which is demonstrating high-speed telegraphy as its centerpiece. In case you were wondering, at the age of 13, Yanis won a gold medal at the 20th IARU High Speed Telegraphy World Championships with a record-setting maximum copy speed of 1,126 characters per minute, an equivalent of just exceeding 225 words per minute. Whether you are just starting to learn Morse code or are already an experienced operator, the GB2RS Morse Practice webpage is just what you need to brush up on your skill. Created by GB2RS, newsreader Graham, G4JBD, you can select different sections of the latest RSGB news, which are then played in Morse code at the pitch and speed of your choosing. What makes this resource unique is that you can add in different degrees of man-made noise and natural band noise, which gives you a very realistic experience of copying Morse code under poor propagation or contest conditions. Graham has recently updated the page with more options. One of these is the Farnsworth timing, which can play the individual characters at a selectable speed while allowing separate adjustment of the gap between the characters. The new version works well on smartphones and displays the text with a real-time pointer as the Morse is sent. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Final Frontier. Long-dead NASA satellite suddenly emits powerful radio pulse. Scientists from West Australia's Curtin University, researchers at the Australian Square Kilometre Array Pathfinder, observed this signal lasting less than 30 nanoseconds from Earth's orbit, specifically from the location of NASA's Relay 2 satellite, which has been silent since the 1960s. Relay 2, launched in 1964, followed its predecessor Relay 1, which was famous for transmitting the first live television signal from the US to Europe and Japan. However, scientists aren't convinced the satellite has come back to life. Clancy James from Curtin University and his team suggest the signal might have been caused by an electrostatic discharge, a sudden release of built-up charge on the satellite's surface. So although Relay 2 hasn't returned to service, the incident underscores a curious phenomenon, the zombie satellite. These are satellites that after years or even decades of silence suddenly spring back to life. One notable case is Intelsat's Galaxy 15, which went dark in 2010, only to reboot itself later that year. The most impressive example is AMSAT Oscar 7, our ham radio satellite, launched in 1974, presumed dead in 1981, then suddenly reactivated in 2002. While attending the Paris Air Show June 16, NASA Acting Administrator Janet Petro signed an agreement with DLR, German Aerospace Center, to continue a partnership in space medicine research. This renewed collaboration builds on previous radiation mitigation efforts for human spaceflight. As NASA advances the Trump-Vance administration's goal for exploration on the Moon and Mars, minimizing exposure to space radiation is one of the key areas the agency is working to protect crew on long-duration missions. With this agreement, DLR will leverage its human spaceflight expertise and provide new radiation sensors aboard the Orion spacecraft during NASA's Artemis II mission, building on previous work in this area during the Artemis I mission. Scheduled for launch no later than April 2026, Artemis II will make the first test flight with crew under Artemis. Honda has successfully tested an experimental reusable rocket, company said, as it seeks to expand into the space sector. The automaker, which hopes to develop the tech prowess for a suborbital launch by 2029, conducted a test flight of its rocket on the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. The prototype device, around 20 feet tall, landed only 37 centimeters from its designated landing spot after the one-minute flight. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, IOTA, NA024. Eric and Graham, using call signs J38DX and J38LD, respectively, from Grenada, IOTA number NA024, from the 5th through to the 13th of July, operating mainly SSB with some FT8 on 80 through to 10 meters. OC013. Steve, ZL2KE, will again be active from Rarotonga as E51KEE during August, 3rd to the 18th to be exact. He was previously active from there last year. QRV mainly on 43 to 10 metres, CW and SSB using verticals next to the sea and end-fed wires, QSL via IK2DUW, LOTW, EQSL, and Clublog. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Old Timers. And we join Peter, VK7PD.
Hello everyone, this is Peter, VK7PD, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month. Time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia July Bulletin to go to air. This month, instead of the usual broadcast, we will offer an historical broadcast from years past by Alan Doble, VK3AMD, from December 2002. The usual news and information will be broadcast next month. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the program and join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmission times and modes can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC broadcasts. If none of the transmission times suits you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. The Perth RAOTC luncheon is held on the second Tuesday of the month at a new venue. Full details are available on the RAOTC website. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the July RAOTC Bulletin. Enjoy the program and please join in the callbacks afterwards. 7-3 from Peter, VK7PD.
Thanks, Peter. And from the old timers to worldwide special interest groups, radio amateur young timers, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air, with Alec, VK2MV.
Thank you, Cole. This July 15th is World Youth Skills Day. The theme for World Youth Skills Day 2025 is Youth Skills for Peace and Development. This theme emphasizes the crucial role young people play in peacebuilding and conflict resolution by equipping us with the skills necessary for employment, decent work, and entrepreneurship. It also highlights the importance of skills for personal development, well-being, and global citizenship. Back on the 15th of July, 2014, the United Nations General Assembly held its first World Youth Skills Day. Ever since this day, World Youth Skills Day has continued to provide a one-of-a-kind crucial opportunity for young people to communicate with technical and vocational education and training institutions, firms, employee and worker organizations, development partners, and policy makers. Listen out for and work these UK stations, particularly mid-August. 2 Echo Zero Victor Uniform Foxtrot, Mike 7 India Juliet Golf, and Mike 7 Hotel Papa Uniform. The RSGB has announced these three operators are to be the team of young members who will be representing the society at this summer's Youngsters on the Air camp. The event, hosted by the French National Amateur Radio Society and the IARU, will take place at the historical Château de Jambeville. The Château is near Paris and the ops will be on the air between the 18th and the 25th of August. The team is made up of team leader Leon, 2 Echo Zero Victor Uniform Foxtrot, and team members Sophie, Mike 7 India Juliet Golf, and Emily, Mike 7 Hotel Papa Uniform. For WIA National News, I'm Alec, VK2MV in Sydney. Now back to you, Cole.
Thanks, Alec, and that wraps up the segment for this week. I'll catch you next week with more. Till then, stay safe and warm. I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
It's a date. Clubs are welcome to email text with audio for this section. Email nationalnews@wia.org.au. In VK3, Gippsland Gate Radio and Electronics Club Hamfest, July 5, 10 a.m. VK5, Adelaide Hills Amateur Radio Society's Big Annual Buy and Sell, Saturday, July 19, Marion RSL, sellers at 8:30, buyers at 10:30. Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association's 50th anniversary happens at Glen Waverley, July 26. In VK4, the Redcliffe Club Car Boot Sale, Saturday, August 30 at their clubhouse. VK5, AREG's Amateur Radio and Electronics Sale, Sunday, October 26, David Roche Park, Kilbourne. VK4, Gold Coast Amateur Radio Society, their Hamfest, November 9, Country Paradise Parklands, 231 Bow Desert, Narang Road. VK7, Miena Hamfest, Saturday, November 15, 10 a.m. VK3, Rosebud Radio Fest, Eastbourne Primary School, Rosebud, November 16. And in VK8, the Darwin Amateur Radio Club's Dark Christmas Party, 6:30 p.m, December 3. So now, until next we meet, I'm Graham, VK4BB. Walk softly.
From Australia,
This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.